This is July the 12th, 2011, Open Door Baptist Church Men's Prayer Breakfast Tuesday Morning Edition, and we're saddened, but as well as joyful at the same time. One of our faithful members has gone on to heaven ahead of us. He left this old world. He don't have to suffer anymore. On God's green earth, so to speak, he's up there where he wanted to be with the Lord and his wife. And we're sad that he's gone away from us, but we're joyful that he's where he wants to be. He's in heaven, ain't he? I looked in the local newspaper and I found his obituary here. Did y'all look at it by any chance? William Pershing Davis. They called him W.P. I didn't know what the P was. I knew it was William, but let me just read this to you. Y'all know it pretty much. William Pershing Davis, age 92, of Beaufort, died Sunday, July 10th, 2011. He honorably served in his country during World War One in the Army as a sergeant and was a pastor for 18 years. Until his recent illness, he was still preaching weekly at the Four Seasons Retirement Community in Winder, Georgia, and occasionally at the Open Door Baptist Church in Flower Branch, where he was a member. He was preceded in death by his wife, Ora Mae Davis. Surviving are his son, Philip Davis Sr., and his wife, Linda of Buford, sister Leela Howard of Wyandotte, Michigan, brother Howard Davis of Redford, Michigan, three grandchildren, Cheryl Davis, Lisa Davis, and Philip Davis Jr., several nieces and nephews, and it tells funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, July 13th at the Open Door Baptist Church with Pastor Lee Benton officiating. Interment will follow at Broad Lawns Memorial Gardens. Family will receive friends at 6 to 8 on Tuesday night at the Open Door Baptist Church as well. And then it tells the arrangements. But anyway, that's there's Preacher Davis's obituary. He's where he wants to be now. Sad for us, but good for him, I guess, ain't it? Okay, with that, Matthew 14 is where we're going to be today. I want to start off. Y'all know this. I want to tell you a little bit about Matthew anyway. You know who Matthew was. Matthew was a tax man. He was the publican. And Matthew means the gift of the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. What an honor that is. Also called Levi, if you remember. He was a publican and a Jew who collected taxes for the Roman government. So as we can imagine, he wasn't too well liked. As a matter of fact, he was despised by his fellow Jews. I'm sure he didn't get too many invitations to come to supper tonight with us. They just didn't like the tax collectors. In order to collect the taxes, the publicans they hired folks, subordinates. They said to go out and get the tax for them. But the subordinates, you know, they wasn't all clean either, was it? They, out of their own greed, they probably figured they could make more money extorting than they could with the salary for collecting the taxes. So they fell down to the guilt of extortion. As I said earlier, the taxes were paid to the Roman government, so the publicans, the tax collectors, they were hated, and and usually spoken of in despicable language. So, needless to say, they wouldn't too well like. Remember, not only Matthew was a publican, a tax collector, but Zacchaeus was too, wasn't he? Remember Zacchaeus? He was there used to be a song goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a short little man. You know, he had to climb up in the tree, you know. He had to hear Jesus was coming. He had to get up in the tree to see him. He was going to make sure he seen him. So he got up in the tree because he was short in stature, the Bible says. So he got up in the sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he come by. In Luke 7, it says Jesus was accused of being a friend of the publicans and sinners. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of the publicans and sinners. And on one occasion, Jesus was coming back from the lake down there from Galilee, and he went right by Matthew's office, the customs house, the house of customs. Anyway, it was Matthew's office, and Matthew was in there working, and Jesus told Matthew, follow me. And the scripture says, he just got up, he arose, followed Jesus, and of course later went on to be his disciple. Matthew 9:9 says, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man standing at the receipt of the customs, and he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Notice it don't say nothing about Matthew. He said, well, are you talking about right now? We got to go now? He didn't say, give him wait a couple of days. I need to wash out a few things. I got to get some clean underwear and socks and need to run to Walmart and run to the bank and get some gas. He says, no, he got up right away. He arose and followed him. They wouldn't know wasting time. Jesus said, follow me. And he said, well, let's go. You know, he's ready. Sure. And off they went. You know, no dilly-dally, was it? Okay. At 14, Matthew. This is couple of three little stories here. The first, as we're going to see, is about the murder of John the Baptist. Verse 1. At that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard of the fame of Jesus. And tetrarch is the... He's there as well, no. Servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Oh boy. For Herod laid hold on John, bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. What he's doing here, and he's marrying his sister-in-law. And John the Baptist is saying, no, we can't do that. 9:7-8. Now Herod the tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and others that one of the old prophets had risen from the dead. Verse 5, and when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. Oh boy, he got a little clout there, didn't he? But, Luke 26, but, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. Verse 6, yes, sir. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod. Oh, boy, what a combination. Old men and young women. Bad combination there. and see what's going to happen here. I read it again. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, obviously. Mark 6, this story, I think, is in all four of the Gospels, and about the same, but a little bit of word change, but same story and same meaning. When the doctor of the daughter of the Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, all his buddies were there too. They was getting a little pleasure out of this too. The king said to the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever then thou wilt, and I will give it thee." Oh boy. Verse 7, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Well, she cast a spell on him, didn't she? And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. Bring it to me on a tray." A charger is a tray. Verse 9, and the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them that sat at meat, with him at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. He was sorry, but he wasn't too sorry, was he? He said, "Go ahead and do it, because that's what the little girl wants. So go ahead and kill him, cut his head off anyway." And he sent and beheaded John into prison. He had it done now. And Herod said, "John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?" And he desired to see him. Verse 11, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother, like her mother told her to, didn't she? Verse 12, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. Verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship to a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities, you know, the desert place. It's a remote and barren, obviously, like the desert is. Verse 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw so much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Yes, indeed, Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted and were as sheep, having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest is plenteous. Plenteous, laborers are few." And amen. Now I want to tell you just a little bit about John the Baptist going to baptize Jesus. Yes, sir. What an honor that must be. It kind of floored John the Baptist, though, didn't it? Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Amen. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee." He said, You need to baptize me. I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now." Allow it to be so now. But thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he said, "If you baptize me," he said, it'll fulfill all righteousness. In this way we will fulfill all righteousness when you baptize me." And then he suffered him, he said. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he, being John, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Yes, sir. Okay, verse 15 here, just a little side note there. Verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, again a barren place, barren and remote, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go to the villages and buy themselves victuals. And they go and get them something to eat. God. 16. But Jesus said to them, "They don't have to leave." Said, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." They said to him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." Jesus said, "Bring it here. Let me show you something about them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse 19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Little as much when God is in it, right? Took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to the heaven. He blessed and broke it and gave the loaves to his disciples and disciples to the multitude. Fish sandwiches all around. Verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled. Multitudes. That tells me there's a lot of folks out there. Don't say how many, but that indicates to me there's a lot of people out there. And they took up the fragments that remain, 12 baskets full left over. Well, he blessed it abundantly. He fed all them folks and had leftovers. They could have fish sandwiches for supper too, couldn't they? 21, and they had eaten and were about 5,000. Besides the women and children, 5,000 men, I guess, and not to mention the rest of the family. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Amen. 22. This little part of it here is about Jesus walking on the water, ain't it? Don't try this at home. Jesus is the only one that can do this one here. No matter how big a skis you got or boogie boards or whatever it is they call them, you still can't walk on the water, can you? Verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. John 6:15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed from them into a mountain alone. And when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was against them, wasn't it? It kind of puts you in line of that TV from about the deadliest catch. You watch that, where they're out catching the crabs, and the old ship just going up and down like that, and up and down like that with it. It don't say that. It's going to say later on that the wind was boisterous, and that made it a little bit rough. But I'm about to get ahead here. Let me say, 25. And when the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The fourth watch is the darkest hour, from about 3 in the morning till 7 in the morning, is right in the middle of the night, so to speak. So when they had rowed about 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they was afraid, obviously so. 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out in fear. I thought it was a ghost. They seen somebody walking on the water. I guess we would too. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "This is spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake of them. Immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Amen. Acts 27:22. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for thou shalt be no loss of man's life among you at all." 28. "And when Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water.' And he said, and the Lord said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous," it means stormy, as we all know, "he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' He answered and said unto them, 'Well, hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but the heart is far from me.'" Ain't it? See what happens when you take your eyes off the Lord, don't you? Because you're operating in faith here. And, of course, the devil, he's going to throw stuff at you to make you take your eyes off the Lord. He don't want you looking at the Lord. But we're supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord no matter what's going on around us, ain't it? Verse 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?'" 31, "And he said unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Jesus just said, "Peace be still." Amen. James 1:6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Talking about faith here. "For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed around." We've got to stay in focus, as we say nowadays, don't we? We've got to keep our focus. Matthew 21:21. "Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea," it shall be done. Long as you're operating in faith, not wavering, the scripture says, not wavering at all. 30. Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, well, it's got to be in line with the instruction manual, don't it? It's you can't be. You can't be. Want to win the lottery? Don't say nothing about the lottery here in the Bible. Day. We get into the truth. 32 and 33. You'll see here when they were coming to the ship, wind calmed down, didn't it? Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Yes, indeed. Psalms 2. I will declare the decree that the Lord has said to me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Matthew 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Look here, listen to this, Luke 4. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ. Even the devils know who Jesus is. The Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew him that he was Christ. Even old devils, they know they ain't got too much time left, do they? They know their time's limited. But they know who Jesus is. They know what he can do. So they're busy at work nowadays, aren't they? Just like you were saying a minute ago. Just like Brother Harmon was saying. Anyway, moving on. John 1:49, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. About done here. John 6:69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Acts 8, and Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, with all thy mayest, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Just about done. 34 here. This is a little bit about Genesaret. 34, and when they were gone over, they came to the land of Genesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I got a little bit more here about Genesaret. Here it is. Mark 5:28. And when they had passed over, they came to the land of Genesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through the whole region round about, began to care about in beds those that were sick. They was coming to Jesus to get healed, and when they had heard he was sick, and with whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, that they laid the sick in the streets and besought him. They just wanted to be able to touch a hem of his garment when he come out. They just wanted to touch him, they believed to be healed. And besought him, and that they might touch it, as they were the border of his garment. And as many as touched him got well, was made whole, wasn't it? Y'all remember that story about the lady with the issue of the blood. She had spent, all of us have, she spent a lot of time in the doctor's office waiting on the doctor, and she a few hours in there. And Scripture said she spent everything she had, spent all them hours at the doctor's office, and she still had the same problem that she had. With the issue of blood. Mark 5:28, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And now this is a lady that's operating in faith, ain't she? She just wanted to touch his robe when he come by. She said, If I can just do that, I believe I'll be well. Here again, in faith. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague, of that issue that she had. Jesus came by, she touched him, and she was healed. Jesus Christ, healing power, pardon me, is put forth for the benefit of folks that operate in faith and in true faith, not wavering like we did a minute ago, not like the waves of the ocean, not wavering. Jesus Christ is in heaven, but we got a word right here, don't we? That's what we operate off of. We have His word. We have His word right in our house. We were talking a minute ago where we got more than one. We got two or three, and so folks don't have any, don't they? But we've got His word, and we've got His word. We got Him. Jesus said, "This is His word," so we got Him. So when we combine our faith with His word, then we kind of touch a hem of His garment, don't we? And when we touch a hem of His garment, just like the scripture just said, we touch a hem of His garment, we are made whole. If we keep operating in our faith, that's we got to believe. We got to operate in faith. Praise be to God.